Invite you to get your Bibles this morning. If you will open to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. And if you need a Bible, there's one on the side table. Encourage you to get one to study with us. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Our main text is going to be starting at verse 17, but I want to back into verse 1 and read through this and keeping it in context. I think it will help to better understand what the Apostle Paul is saying here to the church of Corinth, starting at verse 17. So verse 1 says, "For we know." Something I'll mention about that word "we know," that's "we know." If you study that in the Greek, you'll find that "we know" is only available. It's only available to people who have come to know Christ as Savior. This knowledge, "we know," comes as a result of Christ being in our hearts, Christ living in our hearts, and Christ manifesting Himself in our hearts through the agency of the Holy Spirit and through the understanding, illumination of God's Word. So it says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," and he's talking about the flesh, that's our tabernacle, if you will, "we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for this for the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in this body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that we have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, or it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all. But they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." May we again pray. Our Father in heaven, as we again approach thy throne of grace, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for what we have because of Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for Jesus, we would have no life. If it wasn't for Jesus, we would have no salvation. If it wasn't for Jesus, we would not have a home in heaven. But because of Jesus, all who are sinners, and we're all sinners, are offered the gift of salvation. And if we trust in Jesus, we know that we have eternal life. We know that one day we will be clothed with immortality. We know that one day we will receive a new body. We know that our sins have not been imputed to us, but have been forgiven. Lord, I pray this morning if there's one in our midst who's never trusted in Your Son Jesus, that today would be the day of salvation. And Lord, maybe there's other decisions that need to be made here this morning. Lord, I pray that for we who are saved, for as we have read in the first verse of this text, we know because of Jesus Christ that we have eternal life. And Lord, we have this ministry of reconciliation. May we show through Your Word others, to others, Lord, that they need salvation. Guide and direct my words this morning, for it's the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. This morning we're going to discuss what it means to be an effective ambassador for Christ. An ambassador is a representative or an agent charged with a special mission. And if you'll recall, is that when you first heard the gospel message preached, it may very well have sounded very foreign to you because it was something that you had never heard about. And in fact, if you go back and you think about the first time that you heard the gospel message, when you heard things like you need to repent, you might have said, well, what do I need to repent for? I'm not a bad person. I haven't done anything bad, or at least not that bad. Sure, I may have told a few lies. I may have cheated on a test here and there, but you know, what have I done that really I need to repent about? But the Scripture tells us, and the gospel message tells us, that we all need to repent. And the reason we need to repent is because we are sinners by nature. But that message might very well have been very foreign to you the very first time you heard it. But then as you maybe have heard it a second time, is that you heard that, okay, I'm a sinner, but what do I do about it? How do I take care of the fact is I'm a sinner? Then you heard a little bit more about the gospel message that Jesus came and He died on the cross of Calvary and He alone arose from the grave and He alone is the Savior of the world. He alone can forgive us of our sin. And then you maybe heard a little bit more from Scripture that, again, that we've all sinned, we've come short of the glory of God, but that Christ, even though we were sinners, Christ died because why? Because He loved us, that He died for us. And we also heard from Scriptures that may have been preached is that there's this wage of sin. And the wage of sin, the Scripture says, the wages of sin is death. What does that mean? The wages of sin is death. It means that if you die in your unbelief, you die without receiving Christ as your Savior, you will spend an eternity in hell. You will spend an eternity separated from God because that is the payment for your sin. But it doesn't have to be that way, the Scripture says. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you trust in Jesus in this lifetime, and you're only given one lifetime, if we trust in Jesus in this lifetime, then what will we have? An eternal home in heaven. You see, that's what the gospel is all about. That's what we present day in and day out to all of those who have never trusted in Christ the Savior. We are to be ambassadors. You and I have a message. You and I do not have the option, as children of God, we do not have the option to change the message. We are sent out as ambassadors. We are sent out with one message, the gospel message. And in fact, as we look again in verse 17 of our text, what does it say? It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So one of the things that we have to look at is that as this new creature in Christ, is that we've been given a mandate, if you will, by the Lord, that we are to be sharing the gospel with all that we come in contact. And think about what I just said earlier. Somebody else had the ambassadorship that came to you. Somebody else had the ambassadorship that came to you and shared with you the gospel message. What if they had not have come to you? What if they had not shared? I go back into my own life and I realize that, yes, my parents were very instrumental in sharing the love of Christ with me, but there were other people that were in my path as well. I mean, I had Sunday school teachers that told me about Jesus. I had a preacher that, well, my dad was the preacher, but there were others that also preached, evangelists that came and preached during revivals. In fact, I was saved during a revival when the evangelist was preaching. So my point is that there were other people that came to my life. They too were ambassadors. And they shared the love of Christ with me. They shared the fact is that Jesus died for me just as He had died for them before they came to know Christ as Savior. And so when we come to understand about who we are in Christ, what responsibility we have as a result in being in Christ, then we start to understand is that as we have come, is that we now want to share the gospel with all of those that we come in contact with. And here's the reason why, is because we want them also to go to heaven. I don't want anyone to go to hell. But I realize there are going to be people that are going to go to hell. For one reason and one reason only, is because they reject Jesus. That is the only reason that an individual will go to hell. You say, well, Pastor, there's a lot of bad things that people do. Shouldn't they go to hell too? Well, if they've trusted in Christ as Savior, they will not go to hell. Now, they may have to pay the consequences to society for what they've done in this lifetime, but if they've trusted in Christ as Savior, they too will go to heaven. But they may have to experience some pain and some things during this lifetime because of their actions. But Jesus can save everyone except for one sin. And that one sin is rejection of Jesus Christ. Not believing in Jesus. That is the only sin that Jesus cannot forgive. Any other sin He can forgive, but that one. Not believing that He is the Savior of the world. So here we find is that as a new creature in Christ, old things have passed away, all things have become new. And now we have this new mission. We have this new mission according to the Lord in verse 18. It says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Now, this word reconciled, if you go back and you look at it in the Greek, for where the Greek word that was used to translate this word, the Greek word is katalasso. And katalasso means to be, with regards to where God is the subject, man is the object, and in katalasso, it implies that God has laid aside or withdrawn His wrath. He has laid aside or withdrawn His wrath. Now that is an important thing to understand about reconciliation, that He has withdrawn His wrath. The Scripture teaches us this, is that if we trust in Jesus Christ, is that, in fact, I'm going to read John 3:36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on Him." The wrath of God abideth on Him. Now in this Greek word, which again in this katalasso, it means that God has withdrawn His wrath. Condemnation and perpetual condemnation and wrath is placed upon us because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. When Adam partook of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, what happened was it brought upon mankind the wrath of God, for that we are all now sinners in need of a Savior. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are going to die and be separated from God for all of eternity if we do not trust in Jesus. And the wrath of God will abide eternally on that individual. So what is the wrath of God? Well, Scriptures teach us that the wrath of God would be that perpetual separation, eternal separation. The wrath of God would be, and I truly believe part of the wrath of God that's going to be on us is that every opportunity that you had in your lifetime to trust in Jesus, where you did not trust in Him, I believe that's going to be replayed over and over and over in your mind. Every opportunity that God gave you is going to be played over and over again. Every opportunity is going to be there, and I also believe that part of that pain, that suffering, is going to be that you will never be able to be with your loved ones again who did trust in Jesus Christ, you will be separated not only from God, but you will also be separated from every one of your loved ones, whether it be your mother, your father, your brothers or sisters, whoever had trusted in Christ as their eternal Savior, you will be separated from them. You will be in a place that is going to be of torment. You will be in a place, in fact, there is an illustration that Jesus gives there in the book of Luke where he talks about the rich man and Lazarus. And in the rich man and Lazarus, what ended up happening? The rich man, both men had an opportunity to trust in Jesus as Savior. Both of them had equal opportunity to trust. They had different opportunities with regards to how they lived, where they lived, their social status. We know that Lazarus was a beggar. We know that Lazarus was, he had sores the dogs licked. And I'm sure he didn't want to be in that situation, but that was his situation. There was also the rich man. The rich man lived in a lavish house. And he had all the pleasantries of life. But one thing that was for sure, both men died. None of us can escape death. Both men were on equal terms. And in fact, if you were to look at them in the grave, they both looked alike. They both were dead. I don't care if one was in a sepulcher that was whitewashed and had pleasantries in front of it, or just a box and thrown into the ground. They were both dead. But we find out they were both living eternally. Though their bodies were in the ground, though their bodies were going to decay, they were spiritually living. And the Scripture says that one man, the rich man, was over in a place in hell or in Hades, a place of waiting, and he was suffering. His tongue was burning. His body was burning, yet he did not burn up. And he asked Abraham, he says, Abraham, can you send Lazarus, the poor man, and by the way, the poor man was not in a place of paradise because he was poor. He was there because he believed. The rich man was in the place of torment and suffering, not because he was rich. It's because he did not trust in Jesus, period. And you know what the rich man said to Abraham? He says, can you send Lazarus over just to dip his finger in a little water and let it drip onto my tongue to give me a little relief? And Abraham says, I'm sorry. He cannot go to you and you cannot come to him because there's this great gulf that is fixed, meaning there is no passing. That bridge will never be there. You cannot get over to him and he can't get to you. The rich man then says to Abraham, okay, he can't come to me. I can't get any relief. But you know what he also was saying? I'm accepting my situation. I'm accepting it because of this reason. I know I'm here for one reason. I didn't trust in Jesus. Now, he said, where does it say that in that Scripture? That's really what's implied. But you know what he said? Out of the love of his heart, I'm talking about the rich man. The rich man that is in, that is suffering, being tormented, and everything else that goes on in hell. You know what he said? Send a messenger to my brothers. Send a messenger to my brothers because I don't want them to come here. Even from the depths of hell, the love that comes from the depths of hell out of the persons that are there in torment, they say, send somebody to speak to my brothers. I don't want them to come here. I'm perfectly judged, and I know it. Send somebody back from the dead, he cried out. And Abraham says, no, we're not sending anybody back from the dead. He says, they have the Word of God. And they have messengers. They're ambassadors. That's you and me. With the Word of God. And if they will not listen to the Word of God, they won't listen to someone, though they come back from the dead. But they have the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So let's go back to our text here. So this word, again, this word reconciliation means that God has set aside, God has withdrawn His wrath. It means that when I pass from this life into the next, meaning when I die as a child of God, there is no condemnation. There will never be any wrath of God upon me. There will never be any eternal consequence of separation from God. When I pass into this next life, which is going to be eternity. So here we have that we're called upon as a new creature in Christ, as a church of the living God, as we have the ministry of reconciliation. And that's what verse 18 is speaking about. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Why is it important? Because one of the things that we know as children of God, I want to go back to verse 1 again, for we know, and remember what I said in the opening when I was reading this, we know, we have, as children of God, we have knowledge. The world that is lost has no knowledge. People that are lost has not this knowledge. But we have this knowledge that when we die, this earthly house is going to be dissolved. It's gone. I don't need it anymore. I'm not going to need this particular body. It's done. It's a sinful body. This flesh is sinful. It has aches, it has pains, it has sorrows. It has all of the discourse, all of the condemnation of sin because of what Adam did. I am not going to need this body. I'm going to get a new tabernacle. In other words, I'm going to get a new body made by God. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be like Jesus' body. And I know this because I have God living in me. I know this because the Scripture tells me, as we're reading in verse 1, and therefore, I want you to know that as well. I want you to know that. I want you to be able to have that knowledge, but you're not going to understand that until you know Jesus. But everyone that knows Jesus, as it said in verse 17, is a new creature. Everyone that knows Jesus, it says that they are a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so, as a result, we are to spend our time not walking after the flesh, but as the Scripture says, walking after the Spirit. We are to be, it means that we deny ungodliness. We deny, we walk away from worldly lust. We are to live soberly, we are to live righteously, and we are to live godly in this present world, and to carry ourselves such that when anyone asked, what is the reason of your hope? That we gladly say, the reason of our hope, why I live the life that I do is because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. And I will tell you, if Christ is not paramount in your understanding as a new creature in Christ, then you're living as a child of God, you're living a dismal life. I can't motivate you to serve the Lord. But when you grab a hold in your heart, your mind, your thoughts, your attitudes, your ways, about who Jesus is and what He's done for you on the cross of Calvary, that as a result of trusting in Christ as your Savior, you have been reconciled back to God. God's wrath no longer is upon you. You live in liberty. And so as a result of living in that liberty, you are born again. You have this now, this ministry of reconciliation. Don't we want to see others come to know Christ as Savior? You've been liberated. You have the answer to death. You've got the cure for death. It's called Jesus Christ. The question is, are you willing to share this breakthrough in your own life with someone else? You have the answers. It's found in the Word of God. So it says that we have this ministry of reconciliation. And so, again, as this ambassador, and I want to focus back on this word ambassador. You know, we send ambassadors around the world. And as a result of being an ambassador, they represent their country. An ambassador represents the country of where they're sent for. Everything they do, how they carry themselves, their deportment, their attitudes, their ideas, has to be reflective of the country from which they're sent from. Well, you see, our home as a child of God, this is not my home. I'm sojourning through. My home is in heaven. And by the way, if you don't know, if you're a child of God and you don't know that your home is in heaven, then you need to read the Scriptures. You really need to understand the Scriptures. Your home is in heaven. We are sojourners in this land. Why is that so important? Because if you believe that your home is here on earth, then I will tell you, you will get attached to this earth. Everything about your life is going to be evolved in getting things that are on this earth. I'm going to tell you, when it comes to the end of the day, all the stuff that you have is going to be gone. You can't take it with you. And if you have it all accumulated, all your family is going to do is fight over it. So why not just spend it and be done with it? Give them nothing to fight over. The point is that they're going to... So it's nothing that you're going to have left. And in fact, there's another passage of Scripture that there was an individual that Jesus told a parable about that he had a plentiful season of and he went out and harvested all of his crops. It was bursting out the doors. He says, "Let us build bigger barns just to hold all of it." And he says, "Look at what we have done. We've gotten all this harvest in. We planted all these crops. We had all this increase." And the Lord said this, as they said, "Let us build the big barns. Let us sit back, eat, drink, and be merry." The Lord says, "Tonight your life is going to be required. And then, whose stuff is it all going to be? Whose stuff is it all going to be? Because you're going to die tonight." And what he was trying to convey in that parable, life is short on this earth. You may live 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, but life is still short compared to eternity. And then whose stuff is this going to be? It's going to be gone. It's going to burn up. This earth is going to burn up. What is here? And if you get too attached to this earth, you are going to be dismayed with regards to what you don't have nothing. You have nothing. That's why the Lord says, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, where no one can steal it. It's there for all of eternity. Lay up your treasures in heaven." So what he was trying to say and teach us about this ministry of reconciliation is that we need to think above and beyond today and ourselves. We need to be looking to what we can do to try to bring others to know Christ as Savior. And it all starts, as we know what the Great Commission says, to the church. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Why do we go there and teach all nations? Why do we go forth into the world? So that they may learn that the wrath of God can be taken away. Your status before God can be changed from lost to saved, from unrighteous to righteous. But it has and it does require Jesus Christ. Think about this ambassador. This ambassador goes forth and he speaks about the country of which he was sent from. And as a result, he has no rights, no privileges to speak a different message. Whatever message he shares has to be that which the country has authorized him to state. He has no authorization to state anything other than that which he was sent. We, you and I, have no authorization to speak about salvation other than through Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the only authorization that we have. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." You and I have no authorization to go and tell someone, you know, just live a good life and that'll get you to heaven. You and I do not have that authorization because it's a lie. That is a lie. In fact, if you're saved here this morning, you didn't trust in Jesus by working. You didn't trust in Jesus by living a good life. Someone told you the truth. You have to trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. And you trusted in Him. You asked Him to forgive you of your sins and you asked Him to save you. And if you trusted in Him in that manner, that's exactly what He did for you. So therefore, why would you think you would have the authority to change the message? of reconciliation. How to be reconciled. How to come back before the Lord. The Lord tells us in His Word, there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. So why would you say that, well, if you say this prayer, and I will tell you, you know, I've heard people say, well, just say the sinner's prayer. I'm going to tell you right now, that's a dangerous, slippery slope to get on. What is the sinner's prayer? Words? Because words will not save you. Words will not save you. Just say the sinner's prayer. In fact, I'll lead you in the sinner's prayer. What is the sinner's prayer? What are the words? What are the magic incantations that someone would say to get them saved? Because you see, if there are sinner's prayer words, then I will tell you, you don't need Jesus. Just say the words. I might as well just write them up and give them to you. Repeat these words and it'll save you. That's works. The Scripture says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, meaning not some words you spoke, but it is the gift of God. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, I said those words. I've had, I don't know how many people ask me, how do I get saved? What do I need to say? And my basic statement is this. I can't tell you what to say, but you know what I'll do? I'll pray for you that you will have the words to speak. Speak it from your heart. I've told you what you need to do. You need to repent. You need to recognize you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Repent. Ask God to forgive you. You need to ask Him from your heart. Because the Scripture says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart. Speak to Him. Speak to Him and ask Him to forgive you and ask Him to save you. And that's how you get saved. But I can't give you the words. There are no magic words. It's a relationship that you're trying to develop with Him through salvation, through accepting Him, through trusting in Him. There are no magic words. So when you tell me there's a sinner's prayer, that is a slippery slope, my friends, that we need to be careful. You will not find in Scripture where the Apostle Paul said, say these words. You will never find that. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart. You have to be persuaded in your heart that Jesus is the only one who can save you, and then trust Him to do so. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Call on Him. You see, as an ambassador, and I look at the prophets. We look at the prophets, and I'm just going to name a few prophets. I believe that when we look at the prophets, I believe they were diligent ambassadors. You know why they were diligent ambassadors? Because many of them got killed. They got killed. By whom? Well, the ones that were sent to the Jews killed them. Why? Because they told them the truth. They told them what God had to say. They told them is that the reason that you're in, and if you look at the Jews, you go back in the Old Testament, the prophets, what did they come and say? You're going, in fact, what did Jeremiah? Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. Why? It's because of the fact they didn't want to hear what he had to say. 70 years you're going into captivity. Why are we going into 70 years of captivity? We hadn't been that bad, have we really? 70 years. You know why? Because you turned away from God. Because you followed pagan worship. 70 years. Oh no, Jeremiah, no. Because all these other prophets, you know, hey, we're going to do this by groupthink. We got all this mass of other prophets over here that say the most that we'll be in captivity is 2 years. That's it. Just 2 years. Jeremiah says, nope, God says 70. We don't believe you. In fact, you know what? You keep talking that kind of malarkey, and what we're going to do is we're going to put you in the dungeon. We're going to put you in the dungeon. We're going to torture you. We're going to kill you. Stop saying 70 years. We aren't that bad. We haven't done any of that bad things. We haven't cheated, lied. We haven't bowed down those other... 2 years most. Best, worst, we're going to have us over here 2 years. That's why he's called the weeping prophet, because they wouldn't listen to him. Other prophets came along, and what did they do? They killed him. Because why? They were preaching the truth. You know what the message they were preaching? Repent. One word. Repent and be reconciled. Repent and be reconciled. That's what they were preaching. So we have the prophets of old. Then we have the prophets of new. We talk about John the Baptist. What did John the Baptist say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. And what did many of them want to do? They wanted to kill him too. They wanted to get him out of the way. Because why? Because of the message that he brought forth. And yet, that was what he was preaching. And he was preaching about repentance for the remission of sins. How about Paul? You talk about Paul, a man of God, you know, after he came to know Christ as Savior. He was one of the greatest ambassadors that we have, that we find, as we have here in Scripture. And one of the things that we find is that he said in Philippians 3:20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Back in our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, what did Paul have to say there? He said in the early part of the chapter, it says, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." He knew, he says, "I would rather be with the Lord, but if I've got to be here, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to preach. Preach about Jesus." That's why he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ," because he says, "I know it has the power of God to do what? To change everyone who will trust in Christ as Savior. And they can be reconciled back to God. Whether you're Jew or Gentile or Greek, if you will," he says, "I'm going to preach the Word of God." In fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, he said this in verse 19 and 20, "And for me that his desire was that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Every child of God, especially every New Testament church member, is responsible for representing the Lord as an ambassador. And if we're going to be effective ambassadors, one of the things that's going to be required is that we abstain from the pollutions of this world. You and I will not be an effective ambassador if we embark and bib in the things of this world, the lust of the world, pride of life, and all these things that we're told in Scripture that we need to stay away from. Our lives need to be seen as something different. Our lives, why would anybody come and speak to you? Why would anybody come to speak to you about Jesus if they don't see something different about you? Why would they? If they don't see something different in your life, if your words are no different than the words of the world, why would they listen to you about Jesus? If your habits, the places you go, are no different than the world, that doesn't mean as a child of God that we walk around haughty. It doesn't mean we walk around arrogant. It doesn't mean we walk around condemning, you know, with our nose lifted up in the air and condemning all of those around about us because we're children of God. It doesn't mean that. It means, first of all, as I befriend somebody and I let them know that I really love them, it means that I care about them. And I care so much about them, not just that I care about your well-being physically, but I care about your well-being spiritually. Because you see, I know that one day when I die, this body is cast off. I'm with the Lord. And I want you to be with me. But you see, I also have a recognition as well. I can't change your heart. I stopped trying to be the Holy Spirit a long time ago. I can't convict you. Not my job. My job is not to convict you. My job is not to influence you with regards to browbeating you. My job is not to judge your heart. My job as an ambassador is to carry the message. The message of hope, the message of salvation, the message of Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for all. And as the Scripture said, as we were reading back in verse 15, in fact, verse 14 of our text says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which henceforth live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." So what does that mean? Our lives need to be changed. Our lives need to be patterned after the Lord. Our lives need to be looking at the fact is that we are children of God. We are new creatures, and we ought to live as such. But you know, sadly, as children of God, as members of New Testament churches, sadly, Many today, many believers, many people that are church members have forsaken being an ambassador. We've just stopped talking about for Christ. And this is primarily due to the fact that believers have allowed non-believers to taint and mar the true personage of who Jesus Christ really is. You know, one of the things is that when somebody tells you, I don't want to hear about Jesus. And you know, one of the things that we'll start to do is we'll stop talking about Jesus. If we're not careful. Now, you know, I can talk about Jesus and not say a word about Jesus. Did you hear what I just said? And there may be times, and you say, well, how in the world could you talk about Jesus and never use Jesus' name? My deportment, the way I carry myself, the way that I have a situation in my life, how I address that situation? Do I just crumble and fall at when tragedy comes in my life? Or do I have the strength of God to stand and say, you know what, the Lord's going to get me through this. He's going to take care of me. He's going to watch over me. I have confidence. As the Scripture says, the psalmist said, He is my shield, He is my buckler. He is the rock that I stand on. He is the rock of my salvation. And you know, you see, the thing is that sometimes we don't have to even mention the word of Jesus, but we, by our character, by our integrity, by our walk, by our stand, we are still ambassadors for Christ because of the fact is that we're standing for Christ in a world that has no hope. How can you have hope? How can you have such an attitude? How can you have such a deportment about you when all of the tragedy, your house is burning down? Because I know that this body could burn down, I'm going to be with the Lord. You see, that's the point is that sometimes our lives are the only Bibles that some people are ever going to read. What Bible are they reading from your life? As an ambassador for Jesus Christ, they ought to see it's not just the words we speak, it's our whole life. It's our attitude. I serve God because He saved me. Because He saved me. I serve Him. Why else would I serve Him if He didn't save me? Why else would I serve Him if He didn't save me? You know, one of the things is, the Scripture teaches us that we are supposed to be the salt of this earth. If you've ever been around cows, and I'm talking about more than just going to the zoo and seeing a cow behind in the cage, if you will. If you've ever been around cows, one of the things, especially in a dairy farmer, they will often put what's called a salt lick, a block of salt, out in the pasture. You know why they put that salt out there? It's not like an athlete where they're running all day and they get dehydrated, they gotta have some salt in their system. That's not what it's for. What that salt is designed to do is they go out and they lick it. Salt will make you thirsty. And the reason they have the salt lick out there is so that the cows will get thirsty and they'll drink water. Why do they drink the water? To produce milk. They get thirsty, they drink, they produce. That's why they're given. The thing about us as children of God, the Lord says we are to be the salt of the earth. And you know, unbelievers ought to be licking off of us. Now, I use that metaphorically. They ought to be licking off of us. They ought to be listening to what we're saying. There ought to be something we're saying that would cause them to come back and have a thirst for more. You understand what I'm saying? They should come back and have a thirst for more. They should be seeking to learn more about what God has to say. You see, when we are the salt of the earth and they start to lick off of us, if you will, the fact is that we are giving them something, and then you know what can happen? As then the light can also enter into them. As the light has come into our hearts, the light can then be also given unto them. Now, we don't give them any light. It's the light of Christ that's given unto them. But you see, if there's nothing about us, the Lord says if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be what? Trodden underfoot. So the world ought to be able to lick off of us and have a thirst of knowledge, a thirst of understanding, a thirst of what makes you different, a thirst of what makes you tick, a thirst of what is this about your Savior? What is this about this God you're speaking about? Because we've heard that there's all these different gods. Yes, but I serve the living God. If you serve any other God, you serve a dead God. Because my Lord rose from the grave just as He said He would. You see, that's why Paul said this. He said, you know, I came along and I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God gave the increase. But I will tell you that an ambassador for Christ must meet certain qualifications. They must meet certain qualifications. First of all, you need to be saved. That's first and foremost. You need to be a student of God's Word. You need to be studying about who you are. You know, people that go out to be ambassadors for this country, they ought to know what our country stands for. At least what it should stand for. They ought to have a direct knowledge of God's Word. They ought to be understanding. They ought to be meditating upon it. They must carry themselves as such to understand it. Says, as the Scripture says back in our text in verse 19, verse 18, first of all, we've been given as a church. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19 again says, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We have the responsibility to go make disciples. We have the responsibility to go and teach all nations. We have the responsibility to every creature, every human being, to go to them and tell them that Jesus loves them, that Jesus died on the cross. Jesus offers them the gift of salvation. Will you trust in Jesus? That is what the ministry of reconciliation is all about. We were made sinners by what Adam did in the Garden of Eden. We were made saved sinners by what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Amen? We were made sinners saved by grace, by what Jesus did. You see, we were made sinners separated from grace by what Adam did. But we're made sinners saved by grace. So there was a separated from grace. But then reconciled back to God in grace because of what Jesus did. And so as a result, we need to understand as ministers of this word of reconciliation, we only have one certain message. In fact, let's look, is continuing in verse 20. Verse 20 of our text says again, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Well, if the message is be ye reconciled, that says you were unreconciled before, right? That means you were separated. And that the wrath of God is on you. The condemnation is on you. Remember what it says in John chapter 3. Jesus did not come into this world to do what? Condemn the world. He didn't come to the world to condemn it. Why? Because the world was condemned already. When did it become condemned? Adam. Every time that somebody brings it up and says, why am I a sinner? Thank you, Adam. That's all I can say. Thank you, Adam. It's all because of you. And you know, I'm a child of Adam. You're a child of Adam. By nature, we're children of Adam. He is the federal head of all humanity. Goes all the way back to Adam. We are sinners because of Adam. But you know what? I'm not going to throw Adam under the bus. He did what he did. We have the result of it. But you know what? We don't have to accept that. I see that you did it, but my Jesus came and solved it. Jesus came and solved the issue. Jesus came and died on the cross when no one else could do it. I couldn't die for myself. You can't die for yourself. I cannot be reconciled back to God on my own. Jesus died that you and I might live. Jesus died so that we could be reconciled. And that's why he says, now we are ambassadors for Christ. We've been given this ministry of reconciliation. And verse 21 really kind of helps to sum it all up. For he says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In other words, you and I could not pay our sin debt, but He died. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He who knew no sin took our sins and nailed them to His cross. He who knew no sin died on that cross of Calvary so that you and I might have eternal life. Now He comes back and He asks us, or tells us, not asks us, but tells us, as children of God, as members of local New Testament assemblies, we have the responsibility to do what? Be ambassadors of the ministry of reconciliation. We have the word of reconciliation. And it's simple. You're a sinner because all have sinned. Jesus died that all might be saved. We are all dead in sin. But we can all live because of Jesus. And the question is this morning, have you trusted in Jesus? I don't know your heart. You could tell me, yes, I'm saved, and you know what? I'm going to believe you. I'm going to believe you. You have a credible testimony. I'm going to believe you. Why shouldn't I? I can't judge your heart. But you see, you need to know without a shadow of a doubt, that when I die, when you die, you're going to heaven. Because you see, because I know Jesus, I know who I am in Jesus, I know what I have because of Jesus, I know without a shadow of a doubt, I have the confidence in Jesus that when I'm absent from this body, I'm present with Him. Do you have that confidence? If you don't have that confidence, we need to talk about, first of all, your salvation, one. And if you are saved, we need to talk about your understanding of Scripture. And if I ask you, do you know without a shadow of a doubt you're going to die and then go to heaven when you die? Well, first of all, you are going to die, but are you going to go to heaven when you die? If you were to tell me, I hope I am, then you know what we're going to do? We're going to open the Bible and I'm going to show you where the confidence is that you can have in Scripture. But if you still say, you know, I just don't know. I just don't know where I'm going to go. I've really been struggling with this and I just don't know. Then we're going to talk about salvation. And I'm going to tell you, the only way to get saved is to go through Jesus. Really, that's the only way, is to go through Jesus. So I'll ask you this morning, are you truly a child of God? If you were to die today, do you have the confidence that you're going to go to heaven? If you don't know, then we need to talk about it. But you see, but as a child of God, as a truly saved child of God, soundly saved in the Lord, we have the ministry of reconciliation. Are you the ambassador for Christ that He would have you to be? If you're not, then why not? Why not? Have you allowed the world to shut you down on your speaking? Have you allowed the world to shut you down? Satan will do everything in his power to stop you from speaking. And you know, one of the biggest obstacles that we have in this world today is that you don't need to be politically correct. In fact, to be politically correct, you keep your religion to yourself. You keep your faith to yourself. Keep your faith to yourself. That is what people say today. Keep your religion to yourself. Keep it in your home. Keep it in your church. Do not bring it out in the arena of the world. I will tell you right now, the world is crying out for Jesus. We are to be ambassadors. Most people that are here today have made a statement, I have trusted in Christ as Savior. Most people in here, in this congregation, have said, I've trusted in Christ as Savior. The world has said, we don't know Jesus. We are to be ambassadors out there because they need to hear about Jesus. Let us stand as our musicians come for a hymn of invitation this morning. Maybe you've recognized that you haven't trusted in Jesus. Why not come and let us speak to you from the Scriptures about Jesus Christ? Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this study this morning. And Lord, the call for us as children of God to be the ambassador You would have for us to be. May we be reminded of what we have in You and only because of You. The righteousness that we have, not because of us, but because of You. And Lord, may it be burning in our hearts that we want to share that You want others to trust in You as well. Lord, whatever the decisions are that need to be made here this morning, may we be obedient unto You. For it is in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.